In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that not even the sparrows are forgotten by God, and that therefore the hairs on our heads are numbered, so therefore we don't need to be afraid. This is so important to us to understand that literally God has everything, and you can capitalize that, you can put it in bold letters, you can italicize it, you can underline it. God has everything under control. God is in control of everything. Now, he's given us free will, and he's not going to violate that. But what we have to be able to do is look at the question of trust. We hear, for instance, about all these people in the first reading who went about doing all these things, living in holes in the ground, walking around in sheepskin and goatskin, all these different things that happened to them. And yet, we are told that they were approved by God. They were rejected by the world. They were approved by God. God was testing them, and they passed the test. He's going to test each one of us if we really want to grow, if we are serious about doing his will. So let's look at it from another point of view. Couldn't it have been different for all those people that St. Paul was talking about in the first reading? God wanted it to be different, yes. So ask yourself a couple of questions. Number one, do we believe that God loves us? I mean, truly loves us. God is love. That's all he can do is love us. It's absolute. There is nothing else. So if God loves, to love someone is to desire the best for them. So God desires and wills only the very best for each and every one of us. Okay? Do we believe that God is all-powerful? He is. He is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful, which means that he has the power to create circumstances that are going to work for what is best for us. Therefore, whatever the situation that we're in, somehow or another, in a way that we cannot understand, is best. Now, you can look at your life and say, huh, I could think of a whole lot of better ways than this. It wasn't the question of whether there might be a more pleasant way or if there might be a more easy way. The question is it the best? And you say, well, wait a minute. Again, look at that first reading and all the things that happened in there. We're talking about people that were stoned, sawed in half, tempted. They were put to death, went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, distressed, afflicted, wandering in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes. How can that be the best? It made them saints. They are in heaven because they remained faithful in the midst of those kinds of struggles. You see, we need to start learning to look, number one, from the point of view of heaven. Number two, from the point of view of the trust of God. If you just listen to what people tell you when they talk about their children, they're so short-sighted so often. What do you want for your kids? I just want them to be happy. Oh, really? So if they're happy with filth, that's okay with you? If they're happy living a bad life, that's okay because they're happy. That's all I care about is they're happy. God doesn't care if we're happy. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be saints. And so now, again, look at that and say, okay, some of us maybe struggle with materialism, for instance. Maybe we're attached to some people or to some things that aren't good. So if God wants us to be holy, what's he going to do? He's going to take that stuff away from us. Because he's mean, because he's hateful, because he's angry, because he doesn't want me to be happy? No, because he wants you to be perfectly happy. because he wants you to be holy. And so for these people who these horrible things happen to, they are saints. And what a blessing. Do you think from their perspective in heaven that they're now looking at what happened to them and either saying, well, it was God that allowed it, so I guess I better just be silent. I can't say anything, as if God wouldn't know anyway. Or that they're looking at it and saying, oh, it's so horrible. Look what God allowed happen to me. Oh, this is rotten. Being in heaven isn't worth it. Really? No, they're looking at it and praising God because he allowed these things to be able to make them saints. He allowed these things to be able to help them to grow in holiness and therefore overcome themselves so that they could live their lives for the Lord. So as we go forward, and we are in a time of testing, and we're only just beginning in this time of testing, things are going to get really ugly. That's to make us saints. We need to learn to rejoice. We need to learn to trust. God could do this any way that he wanted to. If he wanted to, he could have put you in the most Catholic place in the world, where everybody is living their faith and everybody is supportive of you and everybody's building you up. And if that's what you needed, that's exactly what he would have done. Instead, he put you here. It's not quite like that. Praise God. Because you know what that means? That means you have to be strong because the current is against you. It means you have to make a real choice. If you're living in a great Catholic place, you can just kind of go along with everybody else. You don't really have to make the choice to be Catholic. You just go along because everybody's doing it. Now, not here. You better make the choice, and you've got to put it into practice. It is such a blessing to be in the midst of what is literally the largest occult center in America. It's not fun. It's not exciting. It is a total blessing. Because you have to really put your faith into practice. So if we're persecuted, we need to learn to trust and to praise God and to know that somehow or another, in a way that we don't understand at the time, this is going to be for our good. Isn't that what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans? All things work together for good for those who love God. All things. If we trust that God truly loves us, that he is all-powerful, he's going to do everything in the way that's truly the best for us. So, it's a challenge, a great challenge. But it is to become a saint. That's what God wants for you and me. Not just to be sort of saints. He wants us to be great saints. That's why he put us here, because he wants us to be great saints. Again, you might think, oh, I could be a great saint if I was living in this perfect situation. No, we'd just be mediocre. Nothing matters. It's like, yeah, that's all right. Well, here, you got to make a choice. You got to put it into practice. What a blessing. What a gift. But that's what we have to be able to see. Somehow, given our personalities, our circumstances, this is somehow what's best for us. And as we go forward and things continue to crash, somehow that's what's best for us. Trust. Keep your focus on the Lord. That's all that matters. Do not take your focus off of Jesus. He's got the whole thing under control. And as long as we are loving him, striving to serve him, he is going to make you a saint through it. And that is cause for rejoicing. Perfect happiness is only going to be in heaven. So for yourself, for your children, for your friends, don't wish for happiness. Wish for holiness. Wish to become a saint. Whatever it is that's going to be required in order to become the saint that God wants you to be, trust him. because that's what he's going to make you into, the greatest saint that you can possibly be.